We've been conducting a systematic investigation into the great issues of life and death in the Bible. Our study has brought us to the question of the Christian gospel. What was the message of the gospel according to Jesus? Now, we may have all sorts of gospels offered in the name of Jesus, but because someone gets up and says that he's preaching the gospel, does not prove that his message is really the same as Jesus' message. The crucial question for Bible students, and all Christians are obligated to study the Bible as part of their Christian service, the crucial question is, what was the gospel as Jesus defined it? Now, it's one of the amazing facts of the history of Christian thought that the gospel as Jesus preached it has not been a central interest for the church for much of Christian history. Let me make that point clear. The gospel message as Jesus announced it has been absent from the preaching of the churches which have called themselves Christian for much of church history. Oh, that cannot be, you say. Well, believing that you're a reasonable person who listens to evidence carefully, let me bring the insight of a number of distinguished students of the Bible and the history of the church. First, a former leader of the Church of England, an Archbishop of Canterbury, who said this, I quote, "Every generation finds something in the Gospels which is of special importance and seems to have been overlooked in the previous ages of the church. The great discovery of the age in which we live, the 20th century, is the immense prominence given in the gospel to the kingdom of God. To us it is quite extraordinary that the kingdom of God figures so little in the theology and religious writings of almost the entire period of Christian history." End of quotation. Now I wonder if we grasp the implications of what this Christian leader said. His point was that the kingdom of God was central to the gospel as Jesus understood it. But if we look at the history of the Christian church, the kingdom of God has figured very little, and sometimes not at all, in its preaching. This is surely an amazing admission. There seems to be a glaring difference between what Jesus called the gospel and what the church has generally called the gospel. This calls for some serious investigation. Listen to what a prominent Roman Catholic Bible teacher has to say. I quote, "As a teacher of the New Testament, it soon became obvious to me that the central theme of the preaching of the historical Jesus of Nazareth was the near approach of the kingdom of God. Yet to my amazement, this theme played hardly any role in the systematic theology I had been taught in the seminary. Upon further investigation, I realized that this theme had been largely ignored in the theology and spirituality and liturgy of the church for 2,000 years, and when not ignored, distorted beyond recognition." End of quotation. This Bible expert first tells us that Jesus obviously spoke of the kingdom of God all the time, but the writer realized that he had not been taught much, if anything, about the kingdom of God in his seminary training. In fact, he discovered that the church for 2,000 years had not said much about the gospel of the kingdom at all. Isn't that amazing? May I bring you a third witness, this time a leading Protestant evangelical scholar. As he listened to sermons over many years, he observed this. "During the past 16 years, I can recollect only two occasions on which I've heard sermons specifically devoted to the theme of the kingdom of God. I find this silence rather surprising, because it's universally agreed that the central theme of the teaching of Jesus was the kingdom of God. Clearly, then, one would expect the modern preacher who is trying to bring the message of salvation to his congregation would have much to say about this subject of the kingdom. In fact, my experience has been the opposite, and I have very rarely heard about the kingdom of God." I wonder if this has been your experience, too. If so, have you faced the fact that the term kingdom of God is really another name for the Christian faith and the Christian gospel? Jesus told us that in ways that are easily understandable. First of all, he came into Galilee announcing the gospel. And what was Jesus' gospel about? Well, here are his words. "The kingdom of God is coming soon. Change your minds and your lives and believe the gospel of the kingdom." You will find this summary statement of what Jesus was about in Mark 1, 14 and 15. There was an occasion a little later in the ministry of Jesus when the people liked hearing him teach so much that they did not want him to leave their town and go elsewhere. The people of Capernaum begged Jesus not to leave town. You'll find this in Luke chapter 4, verse 42. This was Jesus' response. he said, I must proclaim the gospel about the kingdom of God to the other cities also. That is the purpose for which God sent me. What a wonderful insight into the mind and teaching of Jesus. Here he was, intent on demonstrating Christian evangelism. He was totally committed to the cause for which God had commissioned him. And this is the way he summed up what Christianity is all about. I must proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to the other cities also. That is what I was sent to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. That verse, Luke 4, 43, embraces the very essence of Jesus' mission. It plainly tells us that the gospel of the kingdom is what Christian preachers and teachers should be engaged in. But is it your impression that you have been adequately informed about the kingdom of God? Is the phrase gospel of the kingdom what comes to mind when you think of your faith in Christ? Is kingdom the word you associate with the gospel? If not, can we say that we have been exposed fully to the saving message as Jesus proclaimed it? Make no mistake, Jesus came to preach salvation to the lost, and he did it by announcing the gospel about the kingdom of God. So important was the gospel of the kingdom that the New Testament keeps referring to it under different titles. The most important of these shorthand terms for the gospel of the kingdom of God is the word word, the word or message. Here's how we can demonstrate this fact. Luke has just told us that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Luke 4, verse 43. And he goes on immediately, in the next verse, to report that what the people were listening to was the word of God. Now that makes perfect sense. Jesus had earlier said in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, that he was commissioned to bring God's gospel. This is the same as God's word or message. We have a most useful equation here. The gospel of the kingdom is otherwise known in the New Testament as God's word or message. It's the message which we must come into contact with in order that we can receive Christ. You see, we cannot intelligently receive Christ unless we hear his message of the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said in the often quoted verse in Romans 10. Paul said in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by Christ's message. And what message was that? Well, it was clearly the message about the kingdom of God, which Jesus always preached. There's a wonderful harmony amongst all the New Testament writers on this vital subject of the gospel. Matthew tells us about the seed which must be sown in your heart so that the process of salvation can get underway. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, Jesus explained that we must understand with our hearts, see with our spiritual eyes, and hear with spiritual ears. But what is it we must understand? The answer appears in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19. Jesus said here that the seed to be sown in our minds is the message or word or gospel about the kingdom of God. Of course, that's exactly the gospel as Jesus always defined it. Grasping the message about the kingdom is the first step in intelligent discipleship. Now, we're not saying, of course, that the other great ingredients in the gospel are unimportant. Obviously, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he died to save us, and that he rose from the dead and is coming back. But the basis for all this is belief in the gospel as it first came from the lips of Jesus, namely the gospel about the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus began, and he was drawing together the great message of the prophets of Israel, that God has a plan for this world and this earth. So often we hear today only that God has a plan for your life. That is true, but that is not all. God has a grand plan to bring peace to this troubled planet. God is going to restore an Eden of paradise to this sin-cursed world of ours. As a human race, we have played right into the hands of the devil, whose object is to keep us away from the teaching of Christ, and especially from that subject which Jesus loved above all, the gospel about the kingdom of God. As we continue our investigation, we must review again what Jesus meant when he commanded belief in the gospel of the kingdom, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I cannot understand why preachers and teachers do not always go back to the beginning of the gospel as Jesus proclaimed it. So often, we hear the gospel preached only from the letters of Paul, without reference to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which provide the basis out of which Paul and the apostles worked. There's an urgent need for evangelists to preach the gospel out of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this will compel them to go back to the words of Jesus himself. Often, however, preachers seem to jump to the crucifixion of Jesus, forgetting that Jesus is the preacher of the gospel par excellence. Let me remind you of when the gospel began. Hebrews 2, verse 3, is a much-needed verse. It says that the gospel of salvation was, and I quote, at the first spoken through the Lord Jesus. That's Christ himself, of course. And it was then communicated to us by those who heard him. Hebrews 2, verse 3. The gospel, in other words, was always traced to the original preaching ministry of Jesus in Galilee. That was the true Christian tradition. Back to the words of Jesus, back to the gospel of Jesus, back to the gospel of the kingdom. These should be our rallying cries as we observe the appalling division and fragmentation of the present church. What if we were to reunite on the basis of Hebrews 2 verse 3, the gospel as it came at the first from the lips of Jesus, the gospel about the kingdom of God? That is our true starting point. I remind you once again of John the Apostle's famous words, penned late in his life with a lifetime of experience behind him and conscious of the need always to stick with the teaching of Jesus himself. Here is what he wrote. I quote, "He who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with God and his Son." You'll find that in 2 John, the second letter of John, verse 9. What a great key that is to understanding the New Testament and the gospel of salvation. Our time has run out for today. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Contact us at the telephone number given at the end of this program for some free literature, which will enable you to study these topics for yourselves. Join us again next time as we continue to search the Scriptures for answers to the great questions of life and death. Until then, may God bless you in your pursuit of truth.